Today's text is Luke 18, verses 35 to 43, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Hear the word of God for this morning. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thank you, Carol, again, and all of those that help and assist with worship. And Jill, the beautiful prelude and offertory with choir. Just everybody. And of course, Phil and Mike back there in the sound booth. Sam's had a dog emergency this morning, so she's not with us this morning. So we lift her dog as in prayer as well this morning, and her. So, hey, dogs are important. So, ask me, I'll show you pictures. So, let us go to God in prayer and pray with me and for me. God, open your word to us today and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. I think I have shared with you before that my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, that we always called Virgie, her name was Virginia. That's just where I get my first name or my middle name. And Ginger comes from the Virginia, in case you're wondering. But Virgie only had one eye when she was born. So she was very dependent on the eye that she had. And of course, later in life, as it happens with most of us and many of us, she began having some vision issues and eventually lost sight in that eye when she was in her late 80s due to glaucoma. Mom and Dad dropped everything. Dad had just retired from the Alabama Power Company, and so they dropped everything and went to Kingsport temporarily because she was not going to move out of her apartment to go live anywhere with anyone or in assisted living. So they went up, and for 5 years, they stayed with her while she was battling that blindness. And of course, with the blindness, it was difficult for her, as you can imagine it would be. She might see or think she saw something that wasn't really there, or would think she could see the lights and things like that when she really couldn't. It was all kind of hopeful, wishful thinking. Sometimes she would get disoriented, and so you might say, "Turn left," and she would begin to go to the right, or go forward, and she might go backwards. Sometimes she, of course, couldn't see anything at all. Those early days couldn't see anything at all, and it would be frightening to her. Sight. You know, I've often thought if I had to lose one of my senses, my sight or my sound, which would I choose? And I don't know. Thankfully, we don't have to make those decisions, but I don't know which one I would want to lose the least or which to keep the most. I love the beauty of these mountains. I love the colors. I love color. But I also love music, and I can't imagine life without music either, and hearing voices and hearing dogs bark. So I don't know which I would choose. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose either. Although if I make it to her age and my mom's age, she's now 94, I may very well find out. My mom is dealing with macular degeneration, so her eyesight has weakened quite a bit. And of course, as I mentioned, my grandmother with glaucoma was blind. But sight is so important to us. There's so much we have to have our sight for in order to be able to do, to drive, to do most daily tasks. And so I can't imagine how difficult that must be. Today we heard a passage about a gentleman who is blind. He has lost his sight. Some translations say that later on when he asked Jesus to restore his sight, he said, "I want to see again," indicating that he had at one time been sighted. But as you heard the passage read, you know that Jesus is coming into Jericho, and the people are excited because Jesus is coming. They're making some noise, and this man who can't see is dependent on others to tell him what's going on. And so they say, "Jesus is coming." And he immediately begins to cry out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." He didn't say immediately, "Give me my sight," but "have mercy." In those days, many illnesses or frailties such as that were associated with some type of sin that had occurred either in the life of the parent or in the individual's life. And so maybe that's why he was saying, "Have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. And if you forgive me of my sins, then I will be able to see." But Jesus wanted to know specifically what this man wanted. And he said, "I want to see." And Jesus restored his sight. Plain and simple, it's a story to celebrate. And he celebrated. He praised God and he followed Jesus in the rest of Jesus' ministry, or at least maybe. We don't know how far and how long he actually stayed with Jesus, but he at least followed him for that day. But when we begin to think about it, we really have to question who in this passage was truly blind. Who in this passage really needed to have their sight restored? Was it this man? Yes, physically he could not see. But the crowd also had some problems with their sight. Spiritually, they possibly were suffering from blindness. And they too needed to see and didn't realize it. It's easy for us as followers of Jesus to think that we see everything that God sees. But oh, we don't. We don't, do we? There's a lot we don't see. And there's a lot, like my grandmother, we get distorted in what we see. We're going to use the help of some videos to illustrate what I'm talking about. I want Phil to show the second one I sent you. And before I do, let me preface it here a minute, Phil. If you have seen this, some of you may have seen this, don't let on that you know what's going on. So,
this is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
All right. How many of you the first time they played through it, saw the bear. Just a couple of you. But then the second time, how many of you saw it the second time? Why? You were looking for it. You were looking for it. And that first one, we were blind, weren't we? We were blind. And it's so easy for us to not just be blind to something like that, but it's so easy for us when we go out into the world to be blind to people that are right around us every day. We never see them. I'm preaching to myself, folks. I'm preaching to myself as well. We've recently started thinking about some of those people that go unseen in the world. At Christmas time, we did what? We did the cookies for the retailers. Why? Because the only time the retailers are seen at Christmas time is when something bad happens. And all of a sudden, people want to gripe and complain. We're collecting grab-and-go snacks to take to Bright Ridge, to take to the medical offices across the street, EMS, TDOT. Why? Because the only time those people are seen is when something bad happens. I mentioned my dad worked for the Alabama Power Company. He was not a lineman. But I tell you what, every time the power went out in our neighborhood, guess who got phone calls? We did. And he couldn't do anything about it. But all of a sudden, oh, Percy works for the Alabama Power Company. Let's call the Howe House and let him know about it. So many people in our community are not seen, period, or are only seen when we want to gripe and complain about something or when we need something. And we take them for granted. But God wants us to see everybody. Even this man in the passage, where was he in the crowd? Behind everybody else. They were all in front. They couldn't see him because they were in front. They only knew he was there because he was screaming, "Hey, over here, Jesus!" And Jesus saw him. In the passage that follows this, we have Jesus coming into Jericho, and there in Jericho, there's this man hanging out in a tree. Who was that man? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was up in the tree because he too wanted to see Jesus, but nobody wanted to see him because why? Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and they would just as soon not even know he was there. But when Jesus came into town, who was it he saw? He saw Zacchaeus in that tree. And he said, "Come, take me home with you. I want to spend time with you." So in this passage, we need to ask ourselves, are we a part of that crowd? And we are the ones who truly need to ask Jesus to help us to see, so that we can see those around us. But there's another kind of blindness that occurs as well. And that's a blindness that really is a distortion of vision in a way. And so let's watch our second video to tell us about that one.
Kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, then someone needs to talk to his parents. If they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
It's about time. Let's see. What do I want?
Yeah, could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world your oyster, and he's serving your cookies.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
$3.85.
And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What is... What is that? What in the world? What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Hey, buddy, come here.
You've come across people like that, haven't you? You go to the Walmart. I always laugh at people who do that. I just did it myself. The Walmart. You go to Walmart, and there's a mother there with kids screaming to high heavens and running all over the place. And you say, oh, man, she's a horrible parent. Or you drive down the corner, and there's the homeless people, and you think, can't they just go get a job? Or you go to the post office, and the mail workers are frantically trying to find everybody's mail and are fussing back there, and you think, boy, they need to get some nicer people to work behind the counter. In any number of scenarios, we see what we want to see. We see someone lazy. We see someone as a bad parent. We see someone who's mean all the time. But what we don't see is what's going on inside their lives. We don't see what they're dealing with day after day. People don't see what we're dealing with day after day. And we make snap decisions about who they are based on what we want to see. Our vision is disoriented. So maybe it's not really that we need to have our sight restored, except that we just need new glasses, new lenses to see through. We need to see through the eyes of God, who sees everything and knows everything and, again, loves us anyway. This weekend, we are talking about vision for our church. But it's not just we need to have a pithy little saying that we can put on our bulletin and our website and our can go and we can spout off and say, this is who our church is. But it's also vision to see. Vision in order to see the world around us, to see the people in the community around us, vision to even see ourselves, and to see as God sees. I know you hear me say that a lot. There's a reason. Because we're grateful God sees us that way. And why would we not want to see others that way? So, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us, your church. Have mercy on us, your church. And Jesus asked us, what do you want? Church, what do we want? We want to see. We want to see. Will you say that with me? What do you want, church? We want to see. We definitely want to see. God is going to restore our sight. He's going to give us a vision, but he's also going to give us vision. And it's up to us how we use it, how we use both. And I pray that when we walk out those doors today, that we go with our eyes wide open and we see as God sees everyone that we come across. Look at them in the eyes. Look at people in the eyes and smile. It'll make them think, wonder what you're up to. Now, seriously, look at them and smile. Say hello. You may be the only person who does. And that may make all the difference in the world to them that day. So, church, we want to see. And God says, see. Let us pray. Lord, we have been guilty of not seeing a lot of people for different reasons. But you want us to see them because you love them. And you want us to love them. We're guilty of seeing only what we want to see in some people. But you want us to see the whole person. You want us to engage with them in such a way that we know why their kids are screaming and running around. It's not because they're bad parents. Maybe because she's trying to do it all by herself. It's not because they're lazy and don't want to work. Maybe it's because they have mental illness and it's hard to hold down a job. Lord, we do want to see as you see. So restore our sight. You're asking us what we want. We want to see truly, because we truly want to be church. We want to be the body of Christ in the world. So today, have mercy on us and let us see. Amen.